This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Who are the Banu Israel? What is their story? Where did they come from? What is these two reigns, these two kingdoms, these two times of authority? When will it happen and how will it end? Where are they now and what is going on today? What will be the conclusion? Alhamdulillah wa kafa. والصلاة على المصطفى وعلى آله وصحبته ومن اهتدى بهديه إلى يوم اللقاء وبعد. When Allah Rabbul Izzah talks about the Quran, He Azza wa Jal mentions two types of verses. So He says, جل سبحانه منه آيات محكمات. From it are verses, legislative directives. They are clear, concise, easy to understand, and very difficult to get alternate understandings from. Logically, if someone commands you to do something, the expectation is that the command should be explicit to warrant obedience and to warrant following. In the absence of that, there'll be confusion. So the first type of verses are those type of verses. Clear directives. آياتٌ محكمات. And then he says, جل سبحانه, هُنَّ أُمُّ الْكِتَابِ. These are the essence of the book. And then the second type of verses, Allah Rabbul Izzah says, وَأُخَرٌ مُتَشَابِهَاتٌ. And other verses are more complex, metaphorical, difficult to understand, requires delving deep, analyzing, synthesizing, unpacking. And with regards to the mutashabihat, Allah Rabbul Izzah says, وَمَا يَعْلَمُ تَأْوِيلَهُ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. And no one knows its interpretation, its murad, its aim, except for Allah. And then he makes an exception, وَالرَّاسِخُونَ فِي الْعِلْمِ. And those who are deeply advanced in knowledge, who delve deep and unpack and analyze and synthesize, these are the ones who will understand the verses of mutashabihat. So tonight we are here to discuss prophecy. And prophecy by nature are verses of mutashabihat. They require delving deep. They require getting technical. They require analysis and synthesis and unpacking. Now, the problem is when you do that, your audience, their eyes start to wander. You know, they lose interest. It gets too much for them. So my challenge is to try to balance the two, to get technical so that I can accurately convey the message and at the same time make sure that I retain your interest so that you can consume and absorb and digest the information. Ask Allah Rabbul Izzah to grant tawfiq wa ma dhalika ala Allahi bi'aziz. The prophecies we are studying tonight are prophecies about the children of Israel. And it is mainly in the surah of Isra, and it is also sometimes called the surah of Bani Israel. So the verse Allah Rabbul Izzah says, وَقَضَيْنَا إِلَىٰ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ فِي الْكِتَابِ. And we decreed upon the children of Israel in the book. And the book here is reference to the Torah. So we decreed upon them, and this decree isn't one that requires obedience. This is a decree of destiny, as in this is what will happen. إلى بني إسرائيل في الكتاب لتفسدن في الأرض مرتين ولتعلن علوا كبيرا.
That twice you will rain mischief on earth, and you will reach mighty heights.
So when Allah Rabbul Izzah says, you will rain mischief and reach mighty heights, this means that this is not the ordinary mischief committed by normal man, because there is height associated with it. There is might and power associated with it. So from this you deduce that twice they will be given reign and authority on earth. And they will spread mischief in that reign. So before we go any further, let's go back to the beginning to find out who are the Banu Israel and what is their story, where did they come from, and what is these two reigns, these two kingdoms, these two times of authority, when will it happen and how will it end, and then where are they now and what is going on today, and finally, what will be the conclusion and the end of these reigns. So to start our story, we go back to the time of Nuh, Noah in English. Noah, or Nuh alayhi salam, is called the second Adam, because after Adam alayhi salam, civilization built, population grew. Then at the time of Nuh, the floods came. And the floods drowned everything and everyone. And only those that were in the ship with Nuh alayhi salam survived. Yet from the people that embarked on the ship and on the voyage and on the safety with him, the rest of them were not able to have children. They were not able to procreate. Their progeny ended with them. And only the progeny of Nuh continued. So Allah Rabbul Izzah says, وَجَعَلْنَا ذُرِّيَّتَهُ هُمُ الْبَاقُونَ. And we made his progeny, as in the progeny of Nuh, the ones that lasted, procreated, survived. And Nuh had four sons, Yam, Ham, Sam, and Yafiz. Yam is the one that drowned. You remember the story. His father tells him, come to the ship, come to safety. He said, I will climb up on a mountain instead. So he said, son, there is no safety from the punishment of Allah this day, except for in the ship. So the wave came and drowned him. So only Ham, Sam, and his last son, Yafiz, survived. From Sam came the Arabs and the Hebrews, all of those who speak the Semitic languages. In Arabic, they are referred to as Samiyun. So Sam produced as Samiyun. And they are the ones that speak Arabic or Hebrew or Aramaic or Syriac or Habasha. So these people and these nations all draw their lineage back to Sam, and as such are referred to as Semites. So amidst the Semites, there were those, amidst the children of Sam, there are those who ended up speaking Arabic. And amidst them are those who ended up speaking Syriac. And amidst them are those who spoke Hebrew. And amidst them are those who spoke Aramaic. Although these ones are smaller in comparison to the big languages of Arabic and so on, but all part of Semites. So they occupied the lands of Yemen, the Arab Peninsula, towards Egypt, Syria, Iraq, and so on. These were all Semites. But because they had grown vast in number, within the Semites, within Sam's offsprings, now there were sub-nations. So sub-nations spoke their own distinct languages. So amidst them are the Arabs and, as I said, Syriacs and so on. Now, if you come to the Holy Lands, this is current-day Palestine, and around it, which is Syria and Lebanon and parts of Jordan, a specific sub-tribe of the Semites used to live here. They were called Al-Kin'aniyun, in English, Canaanites. And the land was called Kin'an or Canaan, as it is in the Bible. So this is these regions, Palestine, Jordan, Lebanon, Syria, what is known as the Levant. Above this, or on the other, you know, slightly that way, is Iraq. There were Semites there too, but as I say, the tribes, the nations had grown bigger. They spoke a different language, Semitic, very closely related. So Arabic, Hebrew, Aramaic, they're sister languages. They have similar words, similar grammar, similar pronunciations. So they, at the end of the Euphrates, where Euphrates comes to join the Persian Gulf, there was an ancient city called Ur, U-R, Ur. Modern excavation has shown a thriving, massive civilization in Ur. And biblical scholars have concluded that this is where Abraham used to live. And when they excavated, and this is pretty recent, they found hundreds of little idols, the little gods that they used to worship. And then they found these three massive idols. And these three massive idols, one was dedicated to the stars, and the other one to the sun, and the other one to the moon. And of the miracles of the Quran is that when it talks about the story of Abraham, it mentions these verses, فَلَمَّا جَنَّ عَلَيْهِ اللَّيْلُ رَأَى كَوْكَبًا قَالَ هَذَا رَبِّي. As Abraham is living with his people, debating and arguing with them, the Quran mentions that Abraham, night fell on him and he saw the stars. And addressing the God of the stars, as in the idol that they had dedicated to the stars and the people that were there worshipping it, he said, almost in theater, that this is my God. And then when the stars disappeared, he verbalized that my God cannot be part-time, showing them that you're in error. The stars cannot be gods because they're here parts of the time and not here parts of the time. And then again, he addresses the God of the moon and again, the matter of the sun. These details are missing in the Bible, but it is the miracle of the Quran that it captures it, and then a scientific miracle these days that they have excavated it. So in this city lived Ibrahim or Abraham. And Abraham, the scriptures refer to as the friend of God. So this friend of God was commanded to leave the city of Ur and go and resettle in the land of Canaan. So he migrated at the ripe old age of 75 years of age, migrated. And in the migration, important point to note, it is him, his wife, and his nephew. So three of them migrate, or four of them migrate. So they come to the land of Canaan. And the land is already inhabited. The Kin'aniyun, the Canaanites, DNA evidence and archaeological evidence shows that they lived in those lands for thousands of years. And even because tonight we're discussing prophecy, so it is more about scripture. And even if you look at scripture, so in the Bible, there is a king, a gracious old king, the Bible says about him, a man with no father, no mother, no beginning, no end. This is Melchizedek. Melchizedek. So the Bible says that when Abraham came, he paid taxes to Melchizedek, to this noble, righteous king. And Melchizedek received him. So, meaning not only a civilization existed, a kingdom existed. And coincidentally, in the Semitic languages, in the language of the Kin'aniyun, he was known as Maliki Salih. Melchizedek, meaning the righteous, or Maliki Sadiq, the righteous or honest or truthful king. Melchizedek. So when Abraham came, this household of four, they didn't come as power breakers, as mighty people. They came as immigrants, four of them, and they probably settled in a little place quietly by themselves, living their days. So settled amidst Canaan and probably by the coast. Time passed, and again at the ripe old age of 86, probably he had his first son. This is Ishmael or Ismail. And he was commanded to take Ismail into Mecca and leave him there with his mom. And he himself came back. So Ismail stayed in Mecca. There he married into another Arab Semite tribe of Jurhum, and from there had his children. On this side was Abraham, and 13 years later, he is given the son Isaac. And if you look at the verse, coincidentally, that God Almighty says in the Bible, that to you and to your offsprings I give this land of Canaan, the offspring of Abraham is two, Ismail, from which a big section of the Arabs come, not all of the Arabs, just a big section of the Arabs, and Isaac, who from which just the children of Israel come and no one else. So, the prophecy would hold true, even if it is just the Arabs that have occupation of the land and live in the land, even if it is the Arabs that dwell on the land, but irrespective. So our interest is Banu Israel, so it is the son Isaac. So Isaac grew and had a son called Yaqub, or Jacob. And Jacob is what scripture calls Israel. So notice carefully, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Isaac is not an Israelite. Abraham is not an Israelite. Israel started, the name Israel and the children of Israel started from Jacob. Israel started at Jacob. Now, Jacob was blessed with 12 sons, and we know the story. The famous son Yusuf was taken from Jerusalem into Egypt. There he grew up, there he gained prominence, and there he invited his family, brothers, mom and dad, to join him. So Israel and the children of Israel, all Israelites, ended up in Egypt. And in Egypt, they came, first of all, under the reign of Hyksos. And at that time, he was just a king. And Yusuf had favor with him, and his children, brothers had favor with him, and they were well perceived and received. But over the times, generations, as the children of Israel grew, the Copts, the original native Egyptians started to grow resentment, and against this a movement started, and eventually the reign of this kingdom was removed and the pharaohs came in. And the pharaohs enslaved the children of Israel. And this lasted 430 long years. And just coincidentally, of the miracles of the Quran, is when Allah Rabbul Izzah talks about Joseph and the king at the time of Joseph, he says, قَالَ الْمَلِكُ. The king said. But when it goes to the time of Moses, the Quran distinctly mentions Fir'aun. Yet same Egypt, and the expectation of the rest of the world was is that the pharaohs ruled all the way through. Only recent archaeological evidence showed that no, reign changed, and the pharaoh started after Joseph and before Moses. The reign of the pharaoh started. So for 430 years, they lived in this, the children of Israel, all in Egypt. And again, I ask this logical question. Whilst the children of Israel are in Egypt, who is in Palestine? And the answer is the indigenous Palestinians, Canaanites, who have been living there for thousands of years, and whose DNA is well documented across the region of the Levant. So the Canaanites lived in Palestine. So now that Moses has come here to Egypt, and this is about more than 900 years before Christ. So 900 BC is when they left Egypt and made their way to freedom and emancipation. This is 900. Archaeological evidence show that at 1200 before Christ, 300 years before the emancipation and the freedom of the Jews, another group came and settled in Palestine as well. They are called Philists. And if you read the hieroglyphs of the Egyptians, Ramses III, in his documentation on his tombs, the historical record that they used to keep, shows that Ramses III had a confrontation with this new tribe that had come to settle at the edge of Palestine. But even they arrived 300 years before the Israelites came back. So Moses came out with his people and they crossed the sea and in the wilderness, and God Almighty told them, go into the land of Canaan, but they were hesitant to do so and they disobeyed the command of God. So he kept them dwelling in the desert for some 40 more years. So count with me, 430 years they were under subjugation in Egypt. Now another 40 years, so 40, 50, 60, 70, 470 years, they were basically in Egypt and away from Canaan, where their grandfather and great-grandfather had come to settle. So after the 40 years passed, this generation that had been brought up under the whip and on chains and afraid, died, and another generation grew up in the wilderness who knew freedom and who knew courage and all lived in the open and obedient to the prophets. These generation, when they reached maturity, 40 years later, they went into the land of Canaan and under the leadership of Yusha ibn Nun and fought the local Malachites, Amalika or Amalik, who are the descendants now of the Canaanites, of the Canaanite tribes that lived there. Because you must understand, 500 years have passed, the tribes have grown big, sub-tribes have formed, kingdoms have changed. Now the tribes that are in charge, a part of the people of Canaan or the progeny of the Canaanites are referred to as the Amalek or Malachites in English. So they come there, they fight, take a little, foothold in the ground, establish their place. And as time passes, in the time of King David and King Solomon, their kingdom grows and they take over the whole lot, and a divine, righteous, godly kingdom comes into effect, which according to some reigns from the Euphrates all the way to the Nile. This is the kingdom of the prophet of God, Sulaiman, or Solomon, as it is known. And Sulaiman was a mighty ruler. Like, Sulaiman was king, and Sulaiman's rule didn't miss a bit. And there was no give in the authority of Sulaiman. You hear the classic story in the Quran that his army and their parade used to include men, jinn, the unseen creatures, and birds. And just imagine this authority. So he looks out from the thousands and hundreds of thousands that have amassed in front of him, and he says, مَا لِيَ لَا أَرَى هُدْهُدْ. Why can't I see Hudhud, a single bird? And look at the consequences, the level of accountability. He says, لَأُعَذِّبَنَّهُ عَذَابًا شَدِيدًا. I will punish him a severe punishment. أَوْ لَأَذْبَحَنَّهُ. Or I will slaughter him, the bird. Or he will give me a good reason for his absence. So mighty ruler, absolute king, and no give in his kingdom. So when a mighty power leaves like that, dies like that, there's usually a power vacuum, very hard to fill the shoes of a person like that. And that's exactly what happened after Sulaiman. So Sulaiman passed away. As soon as his son came into office, people started to infight. So of all the tribes, the 12 tribes of Israel, only 2 accepted his rule and 10 rebelled against him. And then when they rebelled, evil and mischief happened, because this no longer the rule of God. So the evil spread and vice spread. And as a consequence, because whenever this happens, remember this one, whenever nations adopt vice and evil reigns and injustice reigns and cruelty reigns and harshness reigns, then Allah Rabbul Izzah says, وَإِذَا أَرَدْنَا أَن نُهْلِكَ قَرْيَةً أَمَرْنَا مُتْرَفِيهَا فَفَسَقُوا فِيهَا فَحَقَّ عَلَيْهَا الْقَوْلُ فَدَمَّرْنَاهَا تَدْمِيرًا. When we want the destruction of a people, we put in charge of them the most vile of them. The worst of them rise to positions of authority. And when they rise to positions of authority, evil and injustice and cruelty spreads in their reign. And when all this evil and vice spreads, then there is reason now to remove them. So evidence has piled up, hujjah has been established, so Allah will send something to get rid of you and replace you. So this is what happened in the time of the sons of Sulaiman, is because of their rebellion against their rightful king, authority is divided. Now authority, the vile comes in charge and amidst them, evil spreads. So the first consequence was that the Assyrian Empire came to attack them. And then as the Assyrian war finished and they had their reign finished, the Babylonians came. And by that time, the whole of Israel had fallen into sin and into cruelty and into oppression and into zulm and into usury and into killing without right. And all of this. So the Babylonians came, and from history, all of the Israelites were taken, war camps through their dwellings. They were taken as captives, shackled and taken back to Babylon. Then the Persians came. After the Persians, Macedonians came. And after the Macedonians, the Romans came. And one after the other, they attacked and destroyed and removed every remnants of Israelites that lived in this place. So now we go back to our verse of prophecy. The verse says, وقضينا إلى بني إسرائيل في الكتاب لتفسدن في الأرض مرتين ولتعلن علوا كبيرا.
We decreed unto the children of Israel that twice you will rain mischief on earth and you will reach mighty heights. So this is the first one. We have just completed the reign of Suleiman, finished, and the reign of the son Cam, which was rejected. Then infighting happened, and disorder happened, and vice happened, and evil happened, yet they had a huge, massive kingdom. So they have might, and there is fasad, there is vice, there is mischief on earth. So as the Quran said, twice you will reach this position. They reached it after Suleiman. So listen to the words of the Quran. It says, فَإِذَا جَاءَ وَعَدُ أُولَاهُمَا. When the end of the first reign happens, as in when the demise comes,
بَعَثْنَا عَلَيْكُمْ عِبَادًا لَنَا أُولِي بَأْسٍ شَدِيدٍ فَجَاسُوا خِلَالَ الدِّيَارِ.
We will send upon you servants of ours who are mighty and severe, and they will enter through your houses. And it happened at the time of the Assyrians and then the Babylonians. And even as the verse said, they were searched and sought through their dwellings and amidst their dwellings and taken as captives and removed.
So now we have reached the end of the first part of the prophecy, which was their past. So after this, we go towards the time of their present. So after the destruction of their first civilization, there is a story and a life of how they got from here to where we are today. And then we go to study the last part of what the Quran prophesizes about their future. And inshallah, we'll cover that in our next session.